This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Off for Brian Rust. Now Crosby dropped off. Malkin shot block. Got it again right there, and they score! It's Brian Rust on the power play. And Pittsburgh has got back within one. And Sidney Crosby just picked up point number 1,600 of his illustrious career. Now Crosby to the front for Malkin. Save me. Rebound score! Malkin's turn, fires across Carlson, back door, they score! It's Sidney Crosby, and it's an overtime winner!
Man, what a night. What a night. Normally, you'd have to open with Russell Wilson. What is going on here, Limits?
The music ran out and a new bed played.
I don't want the new bed. I want my old bed. Forget the bed. Put it to bed. What a night, man. Watching that game unfold. Normally, Russell Wilson would be the top story today. And we're going to spend most of the show talking about that. But Malkin's 500th goal. Wow. It reminded me of Yager going in on his stomach and batting the puck out of midair. You remember that goal? As it so happens, I believe Ron Hextall was playing goal for the Flyers when Yager scored that night, one of the most memorable of his career. But this was just perfect. I mean, this franchise never ceases to amaze me. The symmetry with which things happen. Malkin assists on Crosby's 500th. Crosby assists on Malkin's 500th. And he scores from his rear end, Limits. I mean, you couldn't ask for a more memorable milestone goal than that. It was phenomenal. And it got me to thinking a lot about this team that I've spent a lot of time around. Not so much anymore, but used to be a beat writer. Have written a book about the Penguins that's still available on Amazon, I might add, City Limits. If you want to look it up, Tales from the Penguins Locker Room, you can tell us how much it's going for these days. And it felt like last night encapsulated the entire history of this franchise in a lot of ways. It was a tragic comedy at the beginning, and then it turned into a classic. Like you had fire wagon Penguins hockey on steroids last night. You had superstars everywhere you looked combining on these highlight reel goals. You had Crosby and Malkin and Carlson and winning the game in dramatic fashion. You had Tristan Jarry getting booed off the ice, and maybe the next big thing, Joel Blomqvist, or however you want to say his name. And apparently, like Connor Sheary, there's 18 ways to say it. Sherry, Sherry, Sherry. It was just emblematic of this franchise's history. It was a game I'll never forget, man. It was wild. Did you watch it? Were you there? What's your story from last night?
I was here doing the show watching it, and I saw it right away. I was peering my eyes between both TVs that we had in here between playoff baseball and also the Penguin game, and was able to see it like as soon as Malkin scored it on his backside, vintage Malkin Crosby connection. So that was awesome to see. And Joe, your book is going for $25 on Amazon, hardcover, $13 Kindle.
Why don't you read some of the reviews while you're at it? Go to the reviews and let's hear them. Good and bad, I can take it.
There are 203 ratings.
Yeah.
You have a 4.7 out of 5 stars.
Who left me less than 5 stars?
There is one star.
They say?
The one star did not leave any comments.
Right. I can guess who that was.
One of the most,
it was either Yager or Molinari who left that review.
five-star review from last year. I bought this for my sister for her birthday, who is a lifelong diehard Penguins fan, to take on her trip to Mexico to read on the plane. She said she couldn't put it down. Would be a great read for the Penguins fan on your shopping list.
That is fantastic.
And then
limits.
The three-star review said, this is a must for any Penguins fan. I enjoyed learning about the team through the book, but why just three stars?
Yeah. Well, do they have an address? I'm going to send that person an email.
That is regarded as the most critical review.
But this is not about me, limits. Seriously, this is about the Penguins and the star power and the longevity of these guys. And in order to appreciate that, you have to go back 19 years. The only other trio in the history of North American sports that stayed together longer. Do you know who it was, limits? Wrong.
Wasn't it the Yankees core four with Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera and Jorge Posada?
The core three, yeah. That's who it was. They had 17 years. This group is now on year 19. It's crazy. We a lot of us, I'm sure, if you're listening out there, can measure major life events against these guys' careers. Like, I went back last night and this morning to when they won the draft lottery for Sid. That was the year YouTube was invented. Think about that. You weren't, were you? You were what, four?
I was born, yes. I would have been four in 05.
YouTube was invented. They played at the Civic Mellon Arena, the igloo, that no longer exists anymore. I wasn't even married yet, and now I have a 16-year-old who I'm trying to teach how to drive. This is not normal. This is a miracle by sports standards. You look up the longest 10 years ever by one player with one team, Gordie Howe stuff, from the history of sports, it's usually a little more than 20 years, right around 20, 21, 22. All three of these guys might get there. This is a sports miracle, and it's not like they're just hanging around. Sidney Crosby last year was voted by his peers as still the greatest all-around player on the planet. Malkin leads the league in scoring. Letang, a defenseman, has 3 points in five games and still logs more than 23 minutes a game. They're all still central characters. Not perfect. Not what they used to be, of course. But still central characters. Did I mention that Malkin leads the league in scoring right now? I mean, this is, and when it happens right in front of your face, sometimes is when you're unable to appreciate it. Do you know what I mean, limits?
Right.
It's like watching your kid grow up. You know, someone who hasn't seen them in a year or two or three notices these differences and appreciates things that you can't because you see it every day. And I know the playoff misses and the playoff disappointments have been crushing. But my God, we have to cherish this. This is not normal in all of history. The Penguins are truly a unique franchise in the history of American sports. Emblematic, these three are of that. I sounded like Yoda there. Emblematic, these three are. Right?
Well, and from an outsider's perspective, like, let's say you're in Columbus or you're in New Jersey or you're in New York or Tampa Bay, it might be a lot different, like kind of how we view Stamkos and some of the stars that they've had around him in Tampa. But here, I mean, you're talking about almost two decades worth of stability, consistency from those guys, championships, where we analyze it so closely, we also sort of just, it's natural for us because it's all that we know for the last 20 years. So
it's all that you know,
yes,
from your conscious memory.
And
basically one Penguins team. Yeah, the parts change here and there, but the core of it has remained the same.
And that was the same thing with the Steelers and Ben up until a couple years ago, which is now it's very odd seeing the team not being able to have a stable quarterback.
Sure, but this would be the equivalent of Ben, A.B., and Le'Veon Bell playing 19 years together. It doesn't happen.
Not at all.
It literally doesn't and never has happened. 412-928-9370. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We got all kinds of things happening. Chris Hoke coming in at 11. Jeff Hathorne later today. We'll be talking tons of football. But, man, this is one of those nights that you just have to stop and appreciate what you have in this city with these. And I include, you know, obviously the three of them. Malkin, Letang, Crosby. How they got here. The miracle, the lottery chance of getting here, literally with Sid. They got him on a 6.25% chance by winning the draft lottery. Gino smuggled in from Finland after he fled his Russian team. Letang as a third-round pick, I'll never forget. Scotty Bowman, the first year they made the finals against Detroit, when Letang wasn't yet, you know, a real central player, a star, saying, this kid is really good. Credit to Greg Malone and company for getting him. He is really good. That was Scotty Bowman, whose word you take on anything. So the way that they got here and then what they have survived. Do you know how old they are combined right now? Take a guess. Wrong.
I'm going to say 110.
Very good. 109.
Wow.
They're a combined 109 years old. And like I said, it's not like they're hanging around like Johnny Unitas with the Chargers. Do you see the goals that they combined on last night? Who else is doing that in the league? It was ridiculous stuff. The pass by Crosby, the goal by Malkin, the winning goal, Carlson to Cross. It's amazing. I've run out of words. We don't have words anymore to describe what we're seeing. Please just know how lucky we are to be watching this stuff still. It's crazy. And then what each of them has overcome in their career. A wonder twin. We know about Letang. He has survived two strokes, for God's sakes. Sid had a huge chunk of his prime ripped away because of head injury, concussion. Gino's had multiple major knee surgeries. And here we are. Here we are 19 years into this thing, still getting games like last night. And that's why I say, I didn't think Neil Brown was going to enter this conversation, but I think he is. You're curious, aren't you, Limits?
I think I have an idea.
As to how Neil Brown could possibly wedge his way into this conversation. He's taking a lot of heat in West Virginia right now because he basically said to the idea of his team never winning big games that, did you have fun?
I'm not on social media. I get that they want to win, but what I would say is, did they have a good time? You know what I mean? Like, did they enjoy it? It was pretty good atmosphere. You know, I'm assuming they had probably had a pretty good time tailgating.
Part of me agrees with him. Not necessarily on the West Virginia level there, but with the Penguins, this really is why you exist, to entertain people through the cold, long winter nights. Don't get me wrong. I'll be first in line to criticize them if and when they fail again. Didn't even make the playoffs the last 2 years. Got knocked out early many years before that. I get it. And a lot of it is deserved. But really, really, don't sports teams exist to entertain us, to keep us talking, to keep us texting our friends and relatives going into the next big game? You know what I mean? 5 long, dark months, and the Penguins, they do keep us entertained. They're never boring. They're never boring. That's why they exist. I had this argument with Ron once about college football, and his point was, all the fans care about is that you win. I think we're talking about making a difficult schedule with good opponents on it and memorable games and memorable weeks. And I said to that, I said, so you're telling me, like, let's take the Pitt fan base. Would you rather go 11-0, 12-0 playing Youngstown State every week? Where there's not, your yawning is really throwing me off today. Limits, are you tired?
I didn't even yawn.
You yawned for the second time. You're fake yawning. I mean, you're half yawning.
My mouth didn't even
your
open.
Your mouth Where moved. Did you... I saw your mouth move. You've yawned twice today. When I look over there and you're yawning, it's a real downer. It really is because you're my audience.
I can't believe you're accusing me of yawning at your argument.
Are you saying that you didn't just fake?
I yawned the first time.
Oh, and that was a partial yawn. This was a partial yawn.
Oh, man.
Is the show this boring so far? Maybe it is. Maybe the show is this boring.
I think you're starting to hallucinate.
It's an audience of one, and when I turn to you, I need positive reinforcement, not a guy yawning. This is unbelievable.
So you think mouth movement, just a simple mouth movement.
Are you going to deny that you just went into a partial yawn?
If I'm yawning, then I go like you. That's how you yawn. So I don't want to hear you criticize me potentially yawning.
That was 1.5 yawns. I'll take one.
I won't take 1.5.
Are you tired today? Were you up late last night? What's happening here?
No, I'm not tired. I'm good.
It wasn't an accusation. It was just a question. You seem tired.
I'm ready to roll.
Okay.
And feeling good. Not tired.
Your hair looks great, by the way. You're welcome.
I put some extra product in it. I'm going to speak at a Baldwin panel today.
So that was the impetus for the extra product in the hair?
A little bit. Yeah. Shawn Myers is coming in at noon to relieve me.
He is?
Yes, we've talked about this.
Nobody told me about that.
I told you this last week, at the beginning of this week.
Now, see, that's like my wife. She'll tell me something on March 1st, and then on August 23rd, I've forgotten. She's like, I told you about that back in March.
Well, what do you think I did? Wrote it down on a tablet?
Wrote it down on a headline and put it on a wall somewhere? I don't remember what you said last week.
I'm talking about days ago, not months ago, weeks ago.
So, Sean, don't call me. Seth Myers is coming in here?
Yes, he'll be here at noon. This panel I'm going to starts at 1.
All right. Good luck with the panel.
Thank you.
And you do look wonderful.
I'm excited for it. Now the texters are saying that you talking about yawning is making them yawn.
I know. Now everybody's yawning at the beginning of my show. Great. There's thousands of cars now in western Pennsylvania with people yawning. Wait, is that true that yawns are contagious even if you don't see them? The mention of a yawn makes you yawn?
I don't think so. Did you know that we have a clip of you yawning?
No, do we?
And yet you want to come at me claiming there's a partial yawn.
Don't move the goalpost.
It sounds
don't move the goalpost. I'm not talking about the nature or the sounds of the yawn. We're talking whether or not you began to engage in a second yawn.
Began to engage. It's like, did I start the process of the catch or was my knee down when I started to fumble?
You clearly did. It's too bad there's not a camera on you. There's a camera on me.
My knee was down.
You can watch us on YouTube, by the way. Apparently, I was going to say I was in the middle of a point, but apparently I was in the middle of an unbelievably boring point that has everybody yawning. Do you think the mention, you know that yawning's contagious.
Yeah,
like if I see somebody yawn, I yawn. I've read that that's a good sign. It means you're capable of compassion. In other words, you're not a sociopath. If by watching somebody yawn, you automatically want to yawn or start to yawn yourself. That's one theory. I'm just saying I've read that.
I can buy into that theory, yeah.
So that I think if you're a contagious yawner, chances are you're a good person. But I didn't know, although I'm starting to feel it now, that merely the mention of a yawn can get you to yawn. I think that, do you believe that?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I've never gone deep into the ideas of yawning in the scientific realm.
Do you buy it? Something's wrong today, Limits. Yesterday, we were back and forth. We had a witty repartee. You were part of it. Today, you're tired or something's
I'm
wrong.
I'm not tired.
You're
trying to make something.
No, it's true. Something is happening here today. You're nervous about your Baldwin
appearance? I'm not nervous at all.
Something's happening.
I'm very excited for it. I helped coordinate it. I'm not nervous for it.
I've come to know you very well over the last 6 months that we've been doing the show. Something is amiss today.
Do you know what? All right. Do you want to know what was amiss?
there.
There was something amiss this morning because I went to every production booth in the office today trying to clip these goal clips and trying to get everything ready. Where with Pat Bostick in one of the production studios, the main one that I use, the next two didn't have the software that I needed, and then I had to come in here and try to get it all done before the show.
Just deliver the baby.
And I delivered it.
Nobody cares how it got
here. But there was one clip that didn't get in, Joe. Yeah. There was one clip that didn't get in.
Let's hear it. Here it is. It's still not in.
No, it's here.
The Pittsburgh goal. His second of the season. And 500th goal in the NHL. Scored by number 71. Evgeny Malkin!
Oh, man, is that great?
Pretty great, Ryan Mill.
And it was offset by an absolutely tragic scene. If you go back and look at the goal, then he goes to the corner. It's him, Sid, and then the whole team comes out. And guess who the last guy from the bench is to join the celebration? A maskless Tristan Jarry. It's so sad.
It was so funny last night. Well, it wasn't funny, but I was in the middle of talking about Zach Frazier having an injury. Somebody tweeted this live at me. I was talking about, well, the Steelers' offensive line, you know, there's a pretty good defensive line that they're going up against this upcoming week against the Jets. They're pretty good. And then somebody ended up taking the quote that I had, the comment, and said, Zach Frazier in the offense. Oh, boy, Tristan Jarry just gave up an awful goal 1 minute in.
Man, that was brutal last night because it was on national TV. It was on TNT. And everybody heard, especially after the second goal, just brutally booed by the home crowd. And then when he got pulled, the same thing, man. That, and then to see him come off the bench and slowly be the last guy to the party, you know, I'm not saying that he did anything wrong there. It was just the sight of it, him coming off the bench, just felt sad. But back to the original point that bored you and everybody else to death, so why don't I elaborate on it? The Penguins and maybe sports teams at large exist to entertain us. It sucks when they're really bad. That's not entertaining. But when they keep us engaged and having fun and being worthy of talk with friends, family, talk show, getting ready for games, all of that, that's why they exist. Part of me agrees with Neil Brown on that. And back to my conversation with Ron, who said, basically, just deliver the baby. All people care about is wins in the end. That's all fans care about. To which I said, okay, if you're a Pitt fan, would you rather go 12-0 playing Youngstown State every week or have games against West Virginia and Penn State and Notre Dame and maybe lose a couple? I mean, to me, that's the fun of it. That's what you remember. Whether you're a student from your college days or fans, it's getting ready for the Ravens. You know, it's getting ready for Penn State. It's talking about it, remembering what the atmosphere was like at the game. And yeah, most teams don't win. There's 32 of them in the NFL, 31 won't. I get it. And again, I'll be first in line criticizing the Steelers if they don't make the playoffs or go out again early. But in a lot of ways, the function of these teams is to keep us involved and entertained and distracted. And the Penguins, they're great at that, man. They aren't boring. More to the point, we are historically fortunate to be witnessing what we get. This was a random Wednesday. A random Wednesday in October, or whatever month this is, limits. And that happened? Are you kidding me? And here's another thing that's a separate rant. I'm real sick and tired of people talking about loose, you know, fire wagon hockey like it's some kind of sin. I want to see that. In the name of staying entertained, and I realize it's not the best way to win a cup, I don't give a crap. Entertain me on a Wednesday night in October with a 10-9 game where you give up more breakaways than the pregame warm-up. I don't give a crap. What do I care? I'd rather watch that. I'm being honest about this. I would rather watch that than a 2-1 win against Florida or Carolina or the Rangers, where you keep them bottled up the whole game and neither team gets a chance. And Sully can watch the video all night and tell himself that his team played a great defensive game. I don't care. I'd rather have a horrible defensive game that's wildly entertaining like last night. That's sort of a separate topic, but sort of the same. I love that kind of hockey. I want to be entertained by it. Even if it's not best for the Penguins' long-range future. They're not going to win the cup anyway. I'd rather them play like that every single night. Every single night. I want to see Erik Karlsson skating around like a headless horseman. I want to see him create 10 chances for us and 10 chances for them. That's what I want to see. I don't know about you. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. Have I articulated that point about teams in general? Like the Neil Brown point? Like, are you enjoying yourself? Are you having fun? Is this a good experience? Like, we're not horrible. We're giving you a quality experience. You're having the time of your lives. Maybe it doesn't work with West Virginia, the more I think about it. But for me, at least, it works with the Penguins. It really does. Because I know that it could be any Wednesday, a random Wednesday in December or February or whenever. They're going to keep me entertained on these bland, boring, cold, dark weeknights. And they've been doing it pretty much for 20 years now. And for pretty much all the 90s. And really the latter part of the 80s, because Mario was here. I mean, that's pretty good to get that. 412-928-9370. Thoughts, feelings, opinions.
I think it's completely different with the Neil Brown situation, because you're talking about football where you have 6, 7, maybe 8 home games a year compared to 41 in the NHL. Like, it's a completely different story when you're talking football. Everyone out there tailgating, it's more of an event because you only get a few of them. So you have to cherish them, and you want to see wins. Wins is the ultimate thing. Like, when I go to a football game, the tailgate might be fine. The party, the atmosphere might be fine.
So you're with
Ron. The
only
thing I care is if they win.
Okay, you're with Ron then. Put 12 Youngstown States on the schedule and never have an event game.
You can have multiple event games, but you should win them more times than not, and West Virginia does not do that.
Yeah, I think I've moved on from the West Virginia example, but the point at large is that we almost live more for the lead-ups than the games themselves.
Sometimes, yes.
That's what I remember from my Bills days. You ask me, yeah, there were great games. That we never won the Super Bowl, but there were great games. I remember going out the night before. I remember we'd start drinking on Thursdays for a Sunday game. We'd practically sleep over in the parking lot. I remember being with my friends. I remember all the big games against the Dolphins and the AFC title games. More the lead-ups than the games themselves. And that doesn't happen, A, if your team sucks. Well, pretty much, yeah, that, if your team sucks. Or B, if you're never playing good teams. Never having big events. Well, that's what you remember. Plus, that's what you enjoy along the way. Forget about the memories. I want to play Penn State this week if I'm Pitt. I want to go up against Penn State.
I feel the same way there. In terms
Not
of,
Youngstown State.
Well, I mean, I feel like obviously you're going to beat Youngstown State probably 100 times out of 120, out of 101 or whatever. But at the same time, sure, it adds into the flair of playing better teams. Like, Buffalo's not a good team. Like, the Sabres aren't that good. But I feel like we got some of that chaotic part of it with Tristan Jarry that we even haven't even gotten to yet.
Would you agree it was a wildly entertaining game?
Wildly entertaining
game. How about
game?
That part of my point? If I could 100%. Sign you up for 40 more of those where you go 20-20, or 40 more of those where you go 30-10, playing airtight defensive hockey every game where you remember nothing about the game, which one would you rather have?
I'd probably take 30-10.
Okay. I'd take 20-20.
There's a lot of wins thrown in there.
I'd take 20-20 myself, because there's a lot of winter nights ahead. A lot of Tuesdays, Thursdays, and even a random Wednesday when I want to watch fire wagon hockey. I really don't give a crap in the end. They're not winning the cup. 29 others aren't winning it either.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod. That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
City Limits and I had an interesting talk during the break. I think everything's okay. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Everything is fine.
Get
everything is wonderful.
The good guys, Limits and Pomp. And you've become friends with Pomp as well, haven't you?
Yeah, that's been pretty cool for me, to be honest.
All right, Limits. You know, we could go any one of a number of directions. Let's get to football and the Steelers quarterback situation as it leaked out after our show yesterday. That Russell Wilson took first team reps. I got the impression the majority of those, right?
Yes. And Dan Moore said that Russell Wilson received first team reps as well.
So let's start on the other side of this. How do you react if you're Justin Fields? How does this hit you if you're Fields? Does he pull a Kenny Pickett and call up Tomlin and say, get me out of town? I don't think so. I think that was a unique move there by Kenny. But how does it affect his confidence? Ben said that Fields' confidence would take a hit here. Like, Ben sounded like he was concerned about that part of it when he was talking on his podcast anticipating such a move. And if you're Fields, do you look at it like you've been benched? Or because you were never listed first team, do you say, hey, I was the caretaker here and I'll be back, you know, and look at it positively? What do you think?
I don't think Justin Fields is looking at this as a positive. I mean, he was the starter for 6 weeks, got them to 4-2, and is going to the bench. I mean, whether you want to call it benched or not, that is the reality of it. And I kind of think about this a little bit differently from a lot of other people. I think this is Mike Tomlin. You know, they really slow played the Russell Wilson calf injury. They wanted to give Fields an opportunity. I think this is Tomlin admitting that they don't believe Justin Fields can be a franchise quarterback with the Steelers.
Well, it's hard to argue with that, because if you did, you would keep him
you'd keep him in there.
And it's funny because people talk about Fields like he's 13 years old, like he's a 13-year-old rookie. This dude has now been he's already been somebody's franchise quarterback. He's already been a starter for multiple years in the NFL. He's going on 26. He turns 26 in March. He has started 44 games in the league, and this is his fourth year. We're not talking about, oh, yeah, we brought in a rookie and an underage one at that. This is fine. I mean, if I'm Fields, I'm looking at it like I got benched, and I didn't. Make the most of my opportunity. And I would say, inarguably, he didn't do that. We talked about this yesterday. To me, his big opportunity was the Dallas game. Because if you're Mike Tomlin or anybody in that locker room or anybody in all the millions in Steeler Nation, you had to look at the Chargers game like, wow, we passed more than we ran in that game. We handed the ball to Justin Fields, and he delivered big time. He won us a game against the Chargers. Again, they passed more than they ran in that game, and it was a close game. Then, in the second half against Indy, he was spectacular. So anybody in the Steelers' orbit, fan, media, coach, player, owner, whoever, had to have been like, oh my God, what was that? This dude had like 370 total yards and 3 touchdowns combined in that game.
Well, and I feel like if he won the Indy game, it's also a different conversation, because then they would have solidified the job in that comeback.
I don't know about that. Either way, to me, the Dallas game was going to be the game. Like, he was spectacular against Indy. And then with a national audience watching, the Cowboys in town, if he's spectacular again, I don't think you can take the job away from him. I don't think you can. And instead, they were bad on offense that night. And instead of Justin Fields telling the world through his play, I'm not the guy I was in Chicago. That was more about Bear dysfunction and their dysfunction than it was anything about me. Look at me now. Instead, they have 220 yards of total offense against a crap defense that has since given up 47 to Detroit. That was without Micah Parsons and others that night, but notably him, that had given up a combined 72 to Baltimore and New Orleans. And the Steelers go out that night and lay an egg with 220 yards of offense, 3-for-12 on third down. That was his chance to change history and perhaps alter the plan that Mike Tomlin had, which was clearly sooner or later Russell's going to be in there. You can't put Russell in there if you go to 4-1 and then 5-1 and this dude is great. You just can't. But Fields left the door open. He left it open. As we said yesterday, he needed to leave no doubt, and he left doubt. Doesn't mean he can't be their franchise quarterback at some point, but this is undeniably a major setback in that pursuit. I don't want to hear people saying, oh, this is just a blip. He was really good, and he will be again. No. If he was that good, we would all know it, and we would all agree, including Mike Tomlin, that he needs to stay where he is, and that's just not the case.
And you know what all the Wilson defenders are going to say, Joe? Well, Russ was always the number one guy on the depth chart. You know, he was the guy who was just hurt battling his way back. This was always his spot. There was no competition at all. But if Justin Fields, they're 5-1, and I do think if they win that Indy game, although Dallas prime time, everyone watching, significant factor, they're 5-1, undisputed first place in the AFC and right behind the Chiefs. I don't know how you take him out when you're the number two seed in the AFC.
Maybe, but he still would have, if he came back with that Dallas performance, he left a lot of doubt in everybody's mind. That was a horrible offensive performance, and it wasn't much better in spite of the score against the Raiders. You can't be more simplistic than to say, how can you bench a quarterback after they finally score 30 points, which they never did under Canada, and they win by blowout. Well, when you actually look and pretty shallow look behind the numbers, that was actually and should have been a pretty evenly matched game. They got the benefit of two huge roughing the passer calls that turned dead drives. Like literally they were done. One was an interception. One was a third and long dump off. Two touchdown drives kept alive there, and the Raiders had a touchdown called back on a terrible call. The Steelers offense didn't even get to 300 yards in that Raiders game. They got gifted with a block punt at the Raiders' 9-yard line and went backwards 10 yards. That game was not an argument for Justin Fields, and only a very simplistic analysis would come to that conclusion. Truly. Look a little deeper, just a little deeper at that Raiders game. I would think even the biggest Fields fans have to agree that he left the door open here. He did. And maybe we'll discover very soon that it was more the people around Justin Fields than him that contributed to these two offensive performances. Maybe he's not the problem. Or maybe he's not contributing to the problem, I should say. He was pretty good. He's been pretty good. Like Tomlin said, good, not great. It's like a game show at this point. You want to settle for what you have? You want to settle for the 50 grand here limits on deal or no deal? Or do you want to try and win a million? Tomlin's trying to win a million. He's trying to see if Russell Wilson lifts them to a higher level. And maybe he won't. And I don't think it's the end of the world if you go back to Fields, but I will say this. What plagued Fields more than anything else in Chicago is the same issue here. He's not a great passer of the football. That seems obvious to me.
Yeah, he's not reading the field well enough. His best play is a scramble play,
yes,
when he's throwing to George Pickens on the run, which is fine, but you got to be better in the pocket.
He's not a consistent passer. No. He's not a great passer. And that's problematic if you're a quarterback. It's like saying, yeah, he's a pitcher, but he doesn't throw the ball that well. That's a problem. And I don't know at this point, because again, we're 4 years in, if that part gets rectified. It doesn't mean he can't be a viable NFL quarterback, because he does other stuff really well and once in a while looks unbelievable delivering the ball. He could be viable. I don't know that he's a guy that you win championships with as your quarterback. And clearly, him getting benched, which is exactly what's happening here, no matter how anybody wants to frame it, is not a step in the right direction for him.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app